Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret, silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand, men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest, these are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest, make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 17th day of August, year of our Lord 2018, and welcome to the John Moore Show. In prepper tip of the day, this isn't talked much about in the various prepper forums and so forth, but I want to encourage all of you to stock up on spices, seasonings, cooking oil, and of course your vitamin and mineral supplements. Kept in a cool, dry place, humidity is the enemy of these things. Temperature, heat is the enemy of these things. They'll last for many years. I'm no cook. Don't claim to be a cook. I know when I'm looking at the spice rack at the supermarket, I don't have a clue about most of the stuff I'm looking at. But that shouldn't prevent you, even if you're like myself, don't have a clue. Just start buying these things. They're typically in fairly small packages. Don't cost a whole lot. It would be great barter items, by the way. So just start incrementally picking up several of each, and over a period of time, you'll accumulate a very nice inventory of these spices and seasonings, and you'll have those for future use. We are patiently waiting in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began a quest more than a half century ago to become knowledgeable in radio frequency engineering, ham radio technology, electronics in general, to the point where he's had quite a nice career involved in these skills and these fields of endeavor. And we're going to talk about, as we do most Friday mornings these days, emergency survival communications. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning. Nice sunny day we have here in the Ozarks today.
A little rain earlier, but yes. We got rain. It should have come earlier to help the farmers out and the gardeners, but we got the rain, and it's a gentle rain, the kind that can soak in rather than run off because it's coming down so fast. Well, Tom, I'm taking delivery probably over the weekend of a couple of these Baofeng radios that have been pre-programmed by one of our technicians in our preparedness group, and we got a dozen of these things to be purchased by our members. at cost. And we're going to move on from there. These are handy talkies, of course. We're going to move on from there to the mobile units, which is where I want to see people get set up on mobile units, which can be used as base stations as well as mobile units. It's almost the same. Americans have a fascination with handy talkies, and they have a fascination with pistols, don't they, Tom?
Yeah, they do. And, you know, John, with those HTs, and, you know, I mentioned last week about mobile repeaters, which would actually put the high-power mobile unit right in the palm of your hand with that HT. And those Baofeng radios, as well as many of the ham units and the some of the commercial units, are VHF and UHF. So you can use your mobile radio as a cross-band repeater. So you might transmit to your, say you're on a VHF frequency where the main communications is taking place, you put the transmit on the little HT onto UHF, and then you have a UHF frequency, and you talk to it, and it repeats on VHF. So
okay, I need to translate for people here. I understand completely what you're saying, but we already lost more than half our listeners. Okay, here's what Tom's saying. First of all, HT stands for handy talkie, which a lot of people would call walkie-talkie. It goes back to the Korean War, by the way. Handy talkie is a handheld radio. That's number one. Number two is a mobile unit. Now, that would be installed in a motor vehicle. It could be a car, truck, motorcycle, ATV. Doesn't matter. Or it could be installed in a building. It could be in a house or a barn, any kind of building, the mobile unit. Now, here's the difference. The handy talkie is limited by law to 5 watts, although some do put out 7, sometimes even 8, which can be dangerous for your brain, by the way. The mobile units typically will put out 40, 50, even 100 watts of power, which is a tremendous amount of power. So what Tom is explaining here is that low-powered handheld unit can make use of a somewhat nearby mobile unit to greatly expand how far you can talk. Tom, I do presentations. You know, you've been to a couple of my presentations. You know, sometimes, depending on who I'm talking to, I'll ask the audience, everybody in this room who has a two-way radio, raise your hand. And nobody raises, except maybe you might be there, Tom is a ham operator. Nobody raises their hands. And then I'll say, who here has a cellular telephone? And then everybody raises their hands. And guess what? All of you should have raised your hands the first time, because your cellular telephones are, in fact, radios, aren't they, Tom?
Yes, they are. They're full duplex two-way radios. That's exactly what they are.
So we're being surrounded by technology that people don't have a clue what it really is, how it works, why it works, how to make optimal use of these things, and how to understand the difference between a handheld ham radio and a handheld cell phone, why you can do certain things with one and why you can't with the other. They simply don't have this knowledge, do they, Tom?
No, they don't, but it's everybody's used to a cell phone nowadays. And you know, John, the things we talk about on Fridays as to emergency communications, what we're focusing on is what happens when the cell phone system goes down. In a huge emergency, it's not going to work. And what a lot of people don't realize is that the federal, state, and local governments can have control of that cell system and use it for their use and lock everybody else out. So
that's
there's
right.
Service levels that are provided, and that's very important to know about.
It is. It is. Now, there is a caveat here when it comes to these cell phones. You know, nationwide, we experienced this on 9/11/01 when the tragedy happened back east with those aircraft. There was system overload in most of the major cities. It used to be at 3 p.m., 3:30 p.m. during the school year, there would be system overload with these cell phones. That went on for quite a few years. I'm not sure that's still the case. I don't believe it is. But when system overload kicks in, it's simply a matter of too many people wanting to talk at the same time. which may or may not, it won't necessarily involve the government taking over these cell phones, but it could on one hand. On the other, the text messaging frequently will get through when you can't actually talk on these devices, right, Tom?
Yeah, that's true. So that's something to keep in mind. If you have to make a phone call, it may not go through, but you should try the text. I think the system will put that in storage and then forward it as soon as it can. So even if the system is really bogged down, the text may get through. It could be delayed a little bit, but it would get through. So that's a good way.
Another trick that may help, there's no guarantees here. If you're in a major metropolitan area, say New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, any major city, and there's an issue with talking to somebody on a cell phone, make sure you've got somebody say 50 miles away that everyone in your family, say you got a mom and dad and two teenagers, and grandma lives 50 miles away. There's a high possibility that mom and dad couldn't talk to each other 3 or 4 miles away, while both of them could talk to grandma 50 miles away, isn't there, Tom?
Yeah, that is a possibility, and there's... Yeah, that is. Well, I don't want to get real technical unless you want me to, but there's reasons for that.
And well, there's no point in doing that because it's going to be lost on a majority of our listeners. At the bottom, I'm more interested in people getting the information as opposed to understanding the engineering behind it. They can learn engineering on their own if they choose to, but our audience here wants to get the knowledge about how to make things work, and not necessarily how things work. Reminds me, Tom, when I took driver's education, I was, a junior in high school, I guess, and the football coach was our driver's ed teacher, and he really was kind of disconnected from teaching anything academic. So what he did, each student was issued a hardcover book to teach us about automobiles and driving, and he had all of us outline the book. Which, of course, we were doing in longhand. I didn't have a typewriter at the time. So every student in his class had to outline the book, which included all the major systems of the automobile, which would be the engine, transmission, electrical system, brakes, steering, and so forth, so that each student had at least some exposure as to what this marvelous device was sitting in their driveway, and how at least a primitive idea about how things were put together and how they worked. It didn't help me very much because I already knew some of those things, and went on to when I bought my first car, the first thing I did, Tom, was buy a shop manual, not the owner's manual, but I bought a shop manual. And that's where my real education kicked in. So bottom line, if people want to get educated, they can on these electronic matters. It's an esoteric matter for most people that they won't have the interest to want to spend the time to do that. And that's okay. They don't need to know. As long as they know how to do the workarounds and how to accomplish their goal, the engineering details are not necessary for these people, is it, Tom?
Well, that's true. The only reason I bring it up is I know there's some ham operators listening, and they may have an interest in learning more about it, but it's probably best to just cover the basics on it.
Absolutely. Now, there's a way to convert, and I don't know how recently you can do this, but I know some of the older model cell phones can be converted into two-way radios. I've never really looked into it. I know that it can be done. Do you know anything about that, Tom?
I've heard of it being done, John. I've never messed with one myself. You need a push-to-talk button on there. You'd have to work that out. I would think if somebody was really good at hacking, and they'd better be really good, because you'd have to get into the control circuitry and the synthesizer and all that stuff that's in there. And not to mention that, see, these phones are full duplex. They transmit and receive at the same time on one antenna on two different frequencies. So you have to take that into consideration. But if you were skilled in that area, I would think you could make that thing do. Yeah, you could turn that into a two-way radio. Maybe some of the older leftover Nextel units, they did have a push-to-talk function, and they would probably be a little easier to set up that way. And I know there's cell phones, I think, to this day that are made with a push-to-talk function. And maybe they even have that unit-to-unit function built in. It's perhaps,
I know cordless phones, that these are not cell phones, but cordless phones can be used in that manner. I know that for a fact. I've never really looked into it because I've had no need to. If anybody has looked into cordless phones being used as handy talkies or cell phones being converted to handy talkies, give us a call at 800-313-9443. I've never had, typically, Tom, we tend to focus and spend time on things that serve a purpose in our lives, don't we?
Yeah, that's true. And everybody should keep in mind, if you did want to use a cordless phone or a cell phone as a walkie-talkie, the range is going to be very, very limited because they operate at UHF frequencies, and the power level is very low, and most phones have the antenna internally, and it's a compromise at best, so the range is going to be very, very short.
Right. Well, I don't want to dwell on that particular topic is much longer because it is so esoteric and something that very few, if any, people are ever going to take advantage of. But it's good to know that these options are there. Something I've made use of with my preparedness group, Tom, is military surplus field phones. Now, these are not radios. These are field telephones that have been in use since probably World War I. The ones that I've accumulated are Vietnam issue, which can work without batteries or with batteries, either one. Typically, these are the field phones themselves are about the size of, I'm going to say, two cartons of cigarettes. They're pretty heavy. They probably weigh 5 or 6 pounds apiece. Take 2D as in delta, 2D cell batteries when you use batteries. They have a crank on them to generate a signal. They use the military issue field phone wire is steel, not copper or aluminum, but steel with a coating on it to protect it for insulation. And I've got several field phone switchboards also that allow you to connect 8 or 10, or even in one case, the big field phone switchboard, I think maybe 20 or 25 field phones into one central field phone. I mean, there's one, in fact, the one I've got is from a MASH unit, Tom, and I'm not sure if it's ever used in any of the old MASH TV shows, but these are rugged, tough pieces of equipment. They're extremely reliable, can be used in sub-zero weather, they can be used in 120-degree weather. They're very secure because since they're not a radio, the only way you can listen in is to tap into the wire itself, which in most cases would be difficult, if not impossible. But these surplus field phones are available on the surplus market. I've got some of the newer issue ones that have been issued in the last 20 years, by the way, that don't even have a place for a battery. They're about half the weight and half the size of the Vietnam era field phones, which were probably similar to the ones they had in World War II. I don't know that there's much difference between the Vietnam era and the Korean World War II issue. They may be, quite frankly, they may be the same units. I have to look at them more carefully. But if you've got a ranch or a farm with several different buildings, maybe two or three homes, two or three barns, maybe two or three other outbuildings, field phones could be a good alternative for communications inside that ranch or farm, couldn't it, Tom?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, John, when we had a discussion at your meetup group, I did draw a schematic on how to build your own. They're real simple to do. And it's quite possible, if you have any soldering skills, to build your own from just a handful of parts.
There you go. Here's our break. Call number is 800-313-9443.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 17th day of August. At my website at thelibertyman.com, you can now purchase, it's been a long time coming, my new DVD, my latest DVD, the presentation I did in Prague, Czech Republic, when I was awarded the Prague Peace Prize, the top left-hand side of my homepage at thelibertyman.com. Initially, these copies are being bought by various scientists and doctors that I work with. They want the latest information, and you can get it also right there at my website at thelibertyman.com. My video titled Violent Climate Change, What the Government Isn't Telling You. Visiting with Tom Berryhill, this is our hour. We talk about emergency survival communications. And Tom, before the break, you were mentioning a schematic and plans to fabricate your own field telephones, weren't you, sir?
Yes, John, it's pretty simple. You only need the handset units, like from an old phone, and then you need a couple of D-cell batteries or C, or even AAA batteries would work. The thing doesn't use much current at all, so the batteries would last quite a while. And it's known as a common talk intercom. That's all it really is. You can make it a little bit more sophisticated if you want, with special signaling and things like that. But they were used in industrial plants. I worked on that type of equipment years ago, and it was a great way to have an intercom system that you know, that has a handset. You can hook multiple units onto that onto the line. So to add more units, you just clip another handset unit onto the two wires, and they're connected. It's pretty simple, and you can have multiple people talking at the same time, so they can all get on and join in the conversation. It's a great way to.
Let me stop you. How do you signal somebody on the other end to pick up the telephone? How do you do that?
Well, that's where it gets more sophisticated, but you can put a tone generator in there, or there's ways to hook up a buzzer, something that would make a loud noise at the opposite end, and that is possible to do that as well.
And take that to the next level. Say you've got four of these telephones connected together. You could have four different ways to signal four different telephones. Say I want to talk to telephone number one, and I don't want to necessarily want to talk to two or three. So, I'm telephone number four. Go ahead.
That could be done, but that makes it much more sophisticated. And let me describe the system from years. It was 40 plus years ago. I worked on this type of equipment. They were real common in industrial plants, manufacturing companies, and it was a common talk intercom. They'd have a speaker or a horn speaker. They have speakers all throughout the plant, and they had a power amplifier in the office, and that system would tie into the paging, the background music or paging system. And if somebody wanted, they had two channels, by the way, and they were with a colored lamp. I think they had red and green. So if I wanted John Moore, I'd push to, there was a push to talk button on the handset, and I'd push that button and just talk into it, and I'd say, John Moore, red line, and then release that button, and then you would go to the nearest intercom phone, pick it up. You'd hear it coming over the speakers. Then you'd pick it up, and you would just start talking on it, put the switch on to the red, and somebody else might be on the green circuit. And then those lights would light up, too, to let you know that circuit was energized and being used. It was very simple. They worked really good. So you can make this, if you just want to talk from one point to another, when you mention talking from the house to the barn, that's a good way to do it, and you can just have a simple buzzer at each end. I've actually thought about making a unit like that for preparedness-type people, and it's something I may still pursue in the future. I don't know if there'd be much interest.
Everything is a matter of time and money. I haven't looked into the cost of these surplus field telephones recently, but here's the way they work. If you've got four of these connected together in four different buildings, each one has a crank, and when you crank it, it makes a kind of a ringing, buzzing kind of sound on all four telephones. So you could crank, have a different signal for each of the four telephones, similar to what my grandmother had. When I was a boy, my grandmother had this massive wood telephone on the wall that had a crank on it, and you would pick up the earpiece and hold to your ear and stand in front of the mouthpiece and talk into it. You're basically state-of-the-art 1920s technology, and maybe even earlier. But that's why these field telephones work. When you turn the crank, it signals every telephone connected to there. But there's ways to differentiate by doing one quick crank or two quick cranks or three or four, depending on who you want to talk to. The simple is good, and simple is what works. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's true. And you know, John, something that may be of interest to people, we'll wait till after the break.
Bob in the Hour Break, the call number is 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner, $70 off retail, and a mattress pad, 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard. And we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 17th of August. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. I was talking to a botanist the other day. His brother's been a fan of mine for quite a while. The botanist has just found out about me and my work and my website. I pointed out an article that I knew he would find fascinating, since insects play a great role in botany, and let's see, it's down on the left side of my homepage, just to the left of the image, the video of Master Sergeant Roy Benavides. I got to meet Roy, by the way, and have lunch with him. A great man. He passed on not too long ago. And it says, related, dissertation on the disappearance of insects. It begins with a short commentary from myself, and it goes into a fairly lengthy article written by a entomologist who lives in the United Kingdom. Fascinating article. Much more important than most of the things you see on major news, by the way, and not being reported on at all that I'm aware of. I've only seen one article in the alternative media and nothing in the mainstream media about what's going on with insects, especially flying insects. Of course, also on my website, you'll find Energy Cleaners for sale and the mattress pads that go with them. I'm delivering a mattress pad today, a king-size pad, to a friend of mine who wants to upgrade the level of comfort and the level of healing they're get from their energy cleaner. So I'm delivering a king size pad in person today. And the energy cleaner itself, of course, is a marvelous healing device. That's what it is. If you got issues with pain, rheumatoid arthritis, arthritis pain, joint pain, get yourself an energy cleaner. Just do it. Are you risking anything? No, because with the energy cleaner comes a 90-day money-back guarantee, which I personally honor that. Mr. Statmiller would not have me on here a New York minute if I didn't honor this warranty, this guarantee that I provide for this energy cleaner. I do honor it. And we get the return rates running around 2-3%, something like that. Not very many. So check out the energy cleaner. Make your decision. You can make your purchase using PayPal, the most secure way to make any payment online, MasterCard, Visa. You can send me a check or money order. My address is right there at my website at thelibertyman.com. The energy clear is only $285. The mattress pads vary in price depending on what size you get. And here's the toll-free order line, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. We're talking about emergency survival communications with my friend Tom Berryhill. And Tom, we got a caller on hold here who hopefully has got his chickens put away so we don't have to listen to him. Jerry in Texas. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. Yeah, hopefully I what?
Got those chickens put someplace where we don't need to listen to them.
Oh, no, they're quiet right now. I'll go in a quiet room if I make a lot of noise. Y'all describing what I grew up with on these phones, party lines.
Right.
I don't know if y'all ever had a lived area that they didn't have a private line. They wasn't even available. If they were, they was cost prohibitive. And they get them groceries, got to make noise. One on the party, I think at one time we had a 5 or 7 party line.
That's massive. Yeah. If you had a 3-party line, you thought you were doing pretty good, didn't you?
Or everybody else moved away and you had a private line, but it's still a party line. But these phones that you're talking about on these and these manufacturing plants and what, any, were they a 2-wire line or the single wire, Tom?
Well, they were. They had several wires because they had to bring the speaker circuit in. There was a speaker in there to where you could hear who was calling for you, and then you picked up the handset and could have a private conversation. Unless anybody else picked up another handset they could listen in to, you could have as many people on there as you wanted to. I don't remember exactly. But I think there was 4 wires.
4 wires? Okay. I was just curious if it was a single wire or pairs. I've looked at those field radios, what they call field phone, field radios, and I was curious as to what it was. Out in West Texas, I was living out in the Big Bend area, and this was back in the early to mid-90s. And they had, in a rural area, good as you'd go sometimes 4 or 5 miles before you clean houses. They had set up a microwave radio phone system out there. But prior to that, they had phone lines that was about every 4th or 5th fence pole was about 10 foot high, and they had a telephone line that went followed the fence line down to the different areas. It's kind of comical. And sometimes they were just on top of a 4-foot fence post. And the reason you knew it was that because it had an insulator on top of that post, just a little old porcelain insulator. And it'd run for miles, but it had been discontinued because every once in a while you'd see a break in it that had been there for a while. But I thought that was rather interesting to see their phone system out there that late in the technology. But I'm curious about this. Some way you can post some of that stuff on these wiring diagrams, John?
If Tom gets the diagrams together, I will post them. So, Tom, we put the burden back on you, sir.
I'll come up with something, John, a simple system. You can do it with 2 wires. So it's just a twisted pair of wires, or that field wiring like you talked about for the military phones would work fine with this. It'd be very simple to do. And, you know, John, one other thing. You know, I moved to this rural location 20 years ago from the big city, and when we first moved here, I remember the lady at the phone company said, oh, you folks are in luck. You won't have to have a party line. We stopped putting those in last month. So in July of 98, the local phone company here stopped putting in party lines. And then something else, they didn't tell me about this, but a neighbor showed me how it worked. He had a phone remote in his outbuilding. And, you know, in these rural areas, there's one or more outbuildings on every property. And he had a phone out there, and one day he said, oh, it's my wife calling me. I think it had a double ring or something. I said, what's that all about? He said, oh, you just pick up the phone and call your own number and then hang up, and it'll start ringing. I think it gave a distinctive ring, like two quick rings, and so he knew it was somebody in the house trying to get him out in the barn. And it worked really good. So you could call your own number, and then both people pick back up when it starts that ring, that double ring, and then you have like an intercom, and it worked really good. So that was one way to
That's the way it was there in the Round Rock area. And, of course, there's one gentleman, a friend of my folks, he invariably had to pick up that party line and dial our number and then hang up. My dad would go over and pick it up, and it stayed there for 30, 45 minutes and hello, or seconds, saying hello, 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 before he figured out that Ernest had called. You know, Ernest got a kick out. Daddy never did pick up on that. When Ernest was there, you just didn't get an answer first time. He'd played a prank on my dad. But on party line, it was interesting. It had distinctive rings to each house. And invariably, phone would ring, you'd pick it up, answer it, and just a few seconds you'd hear click, click, click. There'd be one or more of the neighbors on the party line to pick it up, just see who it was that's calling you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No privacy at all. None at all.
But we all have a good weekend. I enjoy listening to this. By the way, there's a website you have to pay for the study. It's hamonlinetest.com, I think it is, that you can study for your ham license, which I am working on now. And it's, I don't know, about $25 for the tech, and then they give you a discount if you go ahead with the general and the extra at the same time. And they have all the current questions that's on the test that you can review, and it's kind of, you set it up several different ways where you can specify which one you want to take, general or whatever, and it's a I guess you'd call it a tutorial question type setup where you they give you the information, you read the information, then it gives you the questions with multiple choice. And if you do not get one right, it'll tell you immediately if you want to set it up like that, and you'll rock along there. And you may go through several subjects, and all of a sudden that question that you missed will pop back up. And if you miss it, it'll give you a chance to review the information again. It's pretty comprehensive test. I don't know if y'all are familiar with it or not.
Well, I'm
not, but I'm looking it up right now, Jerry. And
there's some free ones.
Sounds like a good service,
too.
Tom.
There's some free testing services online as well. I'm not real familiar with the one he mentioned, but it sounds like a subscription based, and I like the way they do that. Where if you miss a question, it will put it back in the lineup down the road a little bit, and you can try it again. And that's one way to learn. And it's also good to make note of the ones that you do you don't get answered correctly, and maybe study up on that material and learn more about it rather than just trying to memorize. But
well, this is this.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say if you can just the way we're walking on each other. But if you're good at memorizing things, you could pass that test without knowing anything about it by just memorizing a lot of the questions and answers.
This gives you a chance to learn it. Y'all will have to just look at it.
Jerry, here's a website. Yeah. It's hamradiolicenseexam.com for the testing service you're talking about. Hamradiolicenseexam.com.
Okay. It's a tutorial. It gives you, if you don't know the answer, it gives you a chance to click on, or gives you a box to click on at the bottom of it, and it'll bring up that particular subject, and you can read through it. And sometimes I have trouble discerning exactly what the question is pertaining to, because it's not verbatim what it says in that, 97 subparagraph such and such and on and on. And if you don't, still don't know it, you can click on another that says, show me the correct answer. And it'll give you the correct answer, and you have to click on that before it'll go to the next question. And again, it will keep going back to that question. Even once you learn it and get it right, it'll sneak in on you every once in a while just to see how good your memory is. So I like it. But y'all have a good weekend. Enjoy your program.
Thank you. Appreciate the call, Jerry. A free service that does the same thing. Here's their website, hamexam.org. Hamexam.org. They have free amateur radio practice tests and flashcards. So there's a lot of ways to skin this cat, isn't there, Tom?
Yeah, there really is. I think it's wise for somebody to pursue that if they have any interest at all, and just see how they would do on the test, see what they could brush up on to get the right answers and learn more about it. I like what Jerry was talking about, where they, if you get one wrong, they'll explain down at the bottom what it's about, maybe educate you a little bit on that subject, and you can move on to the next one and try again until you got it down, and then it's time to take the test, and the local ham radio club will be the ones that administer that test. All the testing now is done by volunteers. You don't go to the FCC field office any longer.
Right. Tom, when I was studying for mine, it was 1994, I had a executive protection detail that I was in charge of, and every spare moment during that assignment, I had that book out studying it to be able to take my test and pass it. Of course, there was no online back then for anybody except maybe a few people in some universities in 1994, but that's what we did. That's what I did back then. I had a book and I studied it and memorized it. We're not going to get that many people to study and take their ham radio license test, but we encourage everybody, don't we, Tom?
Oh yeah, if there's any interest at all, it's not hard to do, and because the equipment is really plug and play nowadays, you don't have to really have the technical requirements we did in the old days. So you can get the equipment, plug it in, start using it, and learn as you go. You can get as in-depth with the systems as you want to. You can find out what's going on inside that radio, learn more about it. I've always described it as an apprenticeship. When you first get online with the ham radio stuff, you become an apprentice with your first license, and then you learn as you go. You meet other people. You can join the local radio club, learn more about it. And those men and women are always eager to help others that they're trying to bring their technical skills up and learn more about it. It's amazing who you can meet getting involved in that hobby, and then it can be so helpful in bad situations where there's power lines down, no power, storm damage, things like that. The ham operators are always there and willing to help.
Absolutely. Well, it's a community of men and women. There's a social aspect to these clubs, like there is with any club, and you'll find when you get affiliated with a ham radio club, the men and women there are just more than willing and very anxious to share their knowledge and share their information, aren't they, Tom?
They really are, and it's almost like joining a fraternity. Everybody's kind of on the same level, and they're there with the same interest and helping each other out. It's great, and it's so much easier today than it ever was. In the old days, John, I had to go to the FCC field office. The last one I went to was in Kansas City. That was about, well, I think it was about the fall of 74. I took my extra class then, and that was the hardest test I think I ever took. But it was very difficult, and that FCC examiner just staring down on you, and it was brutal. I'm telling you, it was brutal. And I was amazed that I passed the first time out, but I did, and I haven't taken a ham test since. But it is so much easier. Now, I've seen some of the sample tests that they administer today, and I just don't see where anybody, if they had any interest at all and really applied themselves, I don't think anybody would need more than maybe 3 to 4 weeks of study. And they wouldn't have to study 40 hours a week, but if they just did it a few evenings a week and just read up on it and took those sample tests like Jerry described, I think they would be up to speed in less than a month, and they'd be ready to take that test.
Absolutely. Well, this applies to many endeavors in life. It's going to take some motivation first and the desire to reach a goal. If the desire to reach the goal is there and the motivation is there, then the rest of it just falls into place, doesn't it, Tom?
Yeah, it really does. And the license comes pretty quick. I think it goes online in just a few days. I believe the volunteer examiners turn the results in. They may do that by email. I really don't remember the procedure for that. But they will submit the testing information back to the FCC, and then the license is issued. It's all online now. And then you'd be able to look at the FCC website and see if your license has been issued. And once it's issued, I don't think they even mail out paper copies anymore. I think it's just all online. So once you see a call sign issued to you, that's it. You're on the air, and you're ready to go.
That's right. It's simple, very inexpensive, and it's very helpful. Getting that knowledge, getting that license may make you the foundational person in your group to help everybody else get up to speed on communications. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's true. And if there's not a club in your local area, maybe several people would get together and help each other study and get started and get their license, start talking in their own local area, and perhaps set up their own club, make a new ham club in their area and encourage others to learn and get on the air, get their license, get on the air. And I always like to mention that they should encourage the younger people. You know, the teenagers and even younger than that, the kids 8, 9 years old, have passed this test with ease. And they just soak it in like a sponge, John. I've seen those kids take that test, and they're ready to go. And, boy, they just dive right into it. They're not afraid to grab that microphone and start talking to other people. And they become quite competent with not only their operating skills, but within a few years, they are very technically inclined, and they're ready to go. And they're off to a good career if they want to choose that. In the future, when they're an adult and they're ready to start working, they could get a very well-paying job in the communications industry.
That's right. Well, gainful employment is a pretty important thing in this old world of ours, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And, you know, John, a friend of mine was a big shot with Verizon, and they would have, he said it was incredibly difficult to find technically competent people. He said they would go through 20 people to find one good one. He said it was just really difficult. But they always took notice if a ham operator applied for a position or it was a technical position, they would, if they noticed that they, if the person had mentioned they were a ham radio operator, they took much interest in that person because they knew they already had the aptitude to blend right in, and then they could give them additional training through the company to get them up to speed with their own, with the systems that they own and would be working with. So you never know. It can really help you get a much better job or get your foot in the door in the first place when sometimes it may be very difficult to get through, you know, past that barrier.
It can be. But once you're past it, everything else falls into place, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And just being a ham radio operator will expose you to so many different areas of electronics and communications technology. And I just think the younger people would benefit more than anybody by getting into this at their young age. And when it's so easy for them to learn and they pick up quickly on things, it's just amazing how competent they get within a very short period of time. And they start building their own equipment. I've seen it, John. I've watched it happen where, boys and girls, 8, 9 years old, get into this, and before you know it, they're not even a teenager yet, and they're already building equipment from scratch. They're building little transmitters and receivers with the soldering irons and the individual parts are putting these things together and soldering the circuit boards and rigging up their own equipment from scratch. It's amazing. And, you know, somebody that young getting going like that, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with when they're an adult and out in the working world.
Just like you are.
Well, I've never taken a course in electronics. I learned it all hands-on, and I don't claim to be any kind of an expert, but I have a lot of practical hands-on experience, and I've done a lot of different things, all revolving mostly around electronics, but that branched off into other things. You know, when you start building your own ham radio equipment, that turns out you need metalworking equipment, you need woodworking equipment. And so, I've got drill presses, computerized and manual drill presses, punch presses. I have a complete sheet metal shop. I can make the chassis. And how are you going to label all the equipment? I got into silk screening so I can screen print. And anybody who has the energy cleaner will see the printed name on there. That's done with a screen printing process.
Right,
so you can branch off into so many different areas because there's a need for that type of work. When you start working with this type of equipment, you might need to learn about other areas, and you have an interest in it, so you pursue it. And it just kind of falls in place, and now you have some expertise in another area. And you have if a ham operator, a young person, got into this, John, and they studied all this and started building their own things and from scratch and learning about all these different ways to construct equipment, how it works, the internal workings of it, they would have a resume that could nearly fill a book to where a potential employer, they might find it hard to believe. I've known ham operators that applied for jobs, and they listed everything that they had the competence in and, the different areas for their expertise, and that the employers found it hard to believe until they hired them. Then they saw what that person could do. It was amazing.
Nothing like hands-on experience. Tom,
that's
thanks.
Right.
A lot of time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Okay. Top of the hour break. Be back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.